What up? What's good, everybody? Welcome back. Week two, the cash process. We're coming off some dubs. Ben and I will get into that. We ended up, ironically, with the same lineup. That rarely happens. It didn't happen on purpose that way. And like I said, we're super excited coming off a win, and we'll get into that. We'll talk about everything week two. As always, we're sponsored. You can see me on YouTube. Shout out to the fam, Bet Karma. Go check it out, guys. BetKarma.com. I'm staring right now at the live odds. This is how I'll look at the spread, the over-unders, the win chance percentage, the trends tool, which actually shows everything that color-coordinated for you lazy people out there. You can get quick analysis looking at the slate, the top props, the props comparison, and then you can see clearly on your screen right now, Ben has the projections portal up. This is now a premium feature. We're going to do this every week. Again, this is one of our pride and joys at DFSKarma.com. Under the premium stuff as well with the core plays where you can tell Ben, myself, and the rest of the gang their final thoughts, which is essentially cheat sheets. But we put a lot of pride and work into that. And then a number of other things, including just, you know, ownership percentage and of the rest of the content that is free at the website. What a week, Ben. I was traveling, coming home. I got a bunch of texts from you about Mostert this and, you know, a bunch of people potentially pivoting. At the end of the day, let's just shoot straight here and call a spade. We made the best lineup possible. I really feel confident that, you know, if we played this slate again, really the only difference for me was, and I was texting you about it, I was considering the Moore versus Moore decision. I had Rondale Moore. I did go to Elijah Moore. I would have made a little bit more money with Rondale Moore, nothing crazy. But, you know, we talk about this pre-podcast. Just doing these cash process podcasts over the years. We've been playing DFS for 7 or 8 years now, heavy volume in cash games. We made the right play. When you have a slate with a bunch of cheap wide receivers that are going to see a lot of usage, you take those guys. It doesn't matter the outcome. I know that it wasn't as great for both Moores, I guess. Marvin Jones did hit late, but all the guys had the usage in the world, and it allowed us to get the CMCs, the Cooks, the Kamaras, a very safe build. I know we go back and forth, but Ben, talk to me a little bit more maybe on how you were thinking and how your line. I know it's the same lineup, but what are your thoughts on the slate? And then let's start getting into the week ahead.
Yeah, it's always good to start off with a win. So 1-0 on DraftKings. I did lose on FanDuel because I had Mostert, so that sucked. But yeah, I think as the week went on, it was apparent what the best lineup was. It wasn't a secret. Like you said, a lot of people had the same lineup, but we still won. So obviously it wasn't obvious enough. A lot of the new players, people in the lower dollar stuff went away from that lineup, but it was just obvious the week went on. Everyone was going to use those three cheap receivers, the three expensive running backs, and they were going to play Jalen Hurts at quarterback. I really wanted to play Mostert on Sunday morning, so I'm glad I didn't do that. I'm kind of just stuck with what I had in the three expensive running backs. And it's funny, I actually joked on this video last week, like, hey, you can play McCaffrey, Kamara, and Dalvin Cook. And we kind of like shrugged it off. We're like, yeah, we'll never do that. But that's what we ended up doing. But it worked out. 1-0. I'm excited for this week, and I'm excited that we set the goal for 100 likes on this YouTube video last week. You jokingly at the end of the video said, let's go for 250, and we hit 250. So that's a great job to the people on YouTube.
On the dot.
On the dot. 250 on the dot. I'm super proud of everyone watching this. Thank you, guys. We really appreciate it. We need you to keep the energy up as the season goes on. So we went for 100 last week, got 250. So it's only right we're going for 300 likes on this video. So if you're watching this, you appreciate the content, hit the thumbs up. It takes 1 second. Subscribe to the channel. Turn on the notifications so you know when this video goes live. But yeah, if we're going to go ahead and dive in here at quarterback, I mean, Kyler, man, he's 8,200, most expensive quarterback on DraftKings. Can we really argue what he was doing? Like, I wrote in my article that's on dfscomer.com for free every week. I wrote last week, there was a period last season where, I don't know if you remember it, but normally ownership doesn't get crazy at QB. there was a couple week period where just everyone was playing Kyler Murray last, and it was like you had to play him.
Yeah.
He had like a couple 40 point games, a couple 30 point games, in like a 4 or 5 week span. And look what he came out. I know it's Tennessee, but on the road, 35 DraftKings points in that first week. Tough to argue. Tough to argue with him. And then you have Russell Wilson
He's just that dude.
Yeah, yeah.
He's that dude.
Yeah, he's so quick running. You know he's going to get you. You know, he didn't even. He had 35 with 20 rushing yards, you know? Yeah. I think his rushing prop was definitely over 20. So he has a higher ceiling even than that. And then you have Russell Wilson at 7,500. I really liked, I know you were traveling, so you didn't get to watch a lot. I really liked how the Seahawks offense looked under their new OC. Tennessee, who Kyler just crushed, looked just as bad defensively as they have the last couple seasons. And Seattle's at home. So I really like those two up top. I don't know, like value-wise, like I've kind of been scanning, obviously it's early in the week, but I really like those two at the top, and then we can kind of talk about some of the mid-tier options as well, but I mean, those two definitely stick out. And if you remember, the last couple seasons, it's kind of been spend up at quarterback, right? Like, we've kind of went away from the save at quarterback, and I really like both those guys this week.
That's a really good call. Before I kind of get into my little analysis, I do want to say thank you again to everybody, especially the YouTube fam, where we get a ton of traction. Like, Ben said the perfect trigger word. You know, if you like the free content, I mean, at the end of the day, this is free content. We're even giving you guys our premium product here. That again, this stuff updates obviously throughout the week, especially on the weekends. Seriously, give us a thumbs up. If we do get to 500, I don't know if we can double that, but man, if we get there, I will personally give out an MVP subscription. NBA's literally right around the corner. And, you know, if you guys play DFS, honestly, it's one of the funnest sports out there. NBA's right around the corner. And hell, if we get to 500, Ben, I'll toss out a subscription to everything at Bet Karma. I mean, there's just so many awesome tools, from the prop predictors to the prop comparison stuff, that hey, we get to 500, I will pick somebody in the comments section and I'll give out a couple of those subscriptions. So I just wanted to put a note out on that. Yeah, the guy that's drawn my eye, again, it's Monday, right? It's Tuesday. Now, Justin Herbert's in my dummy lineup. You can see in the projections portal right now, Ben, if you don't mind filtering the Karma value. Again, I'm going to be a stickler about this, guys. I want to talk about this every week. Of course, there's all the stats in the nerd type stuff, the adjusted completion percentage, the average DBs, pass attempts, all this stuff you can study, especially in the other receivers and running back section. But the Karma value in specific, I promise, you start really zoning in on just this column, this will make you a better player. Even if you don't have time, say you are traveling, like me this weekend, I literally just updated the projections portal Sunday morning, and man, Marvin Jones was number one wide receiver, followed by Elijah Moore and Rondell Moore. I mean, it's right there. It's right in front of us. Joe Mixon was the number one running back in our projections portal last week. I swear by this. I said this in a video last week. I mean, I'm playing tens of thousands of dollars a week, and this is what I'm using. Hint, hint. Okay, Justin Herbert comes ranked number two behind Tom Brady. Yes, we can talk about Tom Brady. I do worry from a fantasy perspective. Talk to Ben about this off the air. Like, yes, I would assume the Antonio Browns of the world potentially could be popular this week in cash games. It's 6,000. We'll get to that. But, man, a 13-point favorite, it is a little scary in fantasy perspective. I mean, that one could get away from the Falcons pretty early, so I'll obviously shy away from Brady. I like Herbert a lot. I like that game flow. I'm looking at betkarma.com, and this is a free one. If you click trends, guys, betkarma.com, go to trends. Again, this is just simply showing the opening lines, the live odds, and there's also the over-unders, right? And if you scroll all the way down to the 425 Dallas Chargers game, this game opened at 50.5, right? It's Tuesday. It's been a day and a half since the books have come out, and it's up to 55.5. The lines are moving quick, right? I'm assuming that this will be a popular spot for the week, but that's probably where I'm starting my lineup. I mean, Dax at 6,800, I'm assuming you could probably go either way. I'll probably take Herbert with the better offensive line. That's kind of where I'm at early, Ben. Let me toss a disgusting play at you, Ben. Just tell me I'm an idiot for it. I am going to consider two cheapy guys. One, I'm going to give a hard look to Jameis. I mean, why not? The only reason is he's, what is he? Is he six? Oh, he is in the 6,000s. I thought he was in the 5,000s. Kirk Cousins. The only reason, Ben, I know Chandler Parsons is going to sack him 9 times this week, but that game flow is going to be very fast. I know they're only implied for 23.5 points. I know they're on the road. He is cheap. I just feel like, man, they are going to have to play from behind. There might be some adjustments this week to maybe not let Chandler Parsons have 5 sacks. I don't know. I mean, it's just a disgusting option. Real quick, what are your thoughts on Kirky this week? I mean, they don't have a good secondary. We know that. And I think people are going to shy away from that.
Yeah, so I think more so for tournaments, that's an interesting spot. Because like you said, the talk coming into week one was, hey, Arizona, really bad, maybe the worst secondary in football, load up on the Titans. And, you know, I was one of those people. I really liked Ryan Tannehill. And it wasn't even his fault. Just the line, his line played really bad, and the play calling was egregious. I don't know if you saw, but they ran like no play action at all. So it just wasn't, you know, a good situation. But now that, because the Titans didn't do very good offensively, people will kind of overlook that, I think, for the Minnesota passing game. So I do like Kirk Cousins in tournaments. I think that's a decent call. It's just tough for me not to look at these top guys. And I'm glad you brought up that Chargers-Dallas game, because we have to mention Dak too. I mean, I know, I don't know. He did it last year, right? He threw 58 times in that game against Tampa. I mean, is it going to shock you if he has to do that, like keep doing it? It's exactly what was happening last year. Their defense didn't look any better to me. Metrics-wise, it was just as bad. Dan Quinn has not been good defensively for quite a few years, if you look at how the Falcons' defense has performed the last couple seasons. So I don't know why people are expecting Dallas's defense to take a jump forward, but I love that game too, so that's a good call. But if you're looking at the projections, which I have on the screen, you'll see Kyler Murray, not only does he have the highest projection, he has the highest ceiling too. So it's just tough. It's tough for me not to want to just lock him in.
Totally agree. I mean, honestly, like, let's be real. We're good enough to, you know, make it work, right, Ben? Like, I mean, this week is going to be obviously not as much cheap wide receivers, but I'm with you, dude. Like, we did start paying up at quarterback a lot. Just give me the guy who I know is going to score enough points. He ranks number one in our karma rank category, if you can highlight your cursor over that, Ben. That's just a mix of all of the numbers and the data behind the scenes, like not only all of these columns, but stuff behind the scenes as well. Last thing before we click over to running back, shout out to my boy Blue, Mr. Baker Mayfield. I just want to say, real life talk, he played amazing. Yes, he threw an interception late in the game. The Browns are for real. I have to give my Browns talk real quick, Ben, and you can chime in too. They played unbelievable. I mean, I'm proud of the Browns. Like, yes, the game got away from them simply because of 3 turnovers to 0 on the road. But the Browns are the better team. Baker played his ass off. You got any comments on our hometown Browns as their quest for the Super Bowl continues?
No, I bet them to win the Super Bowl as well before the season. They looked good to me. Like you said, they were in the game the whole time, obviously winning, but then still almost won despite having 3 turnovers compared to the Chiefs 0. So, yeah, I think you can walk away from that game. Yeah. Yeah, you can walk away as a Browns fan optimistic after that game, I think, for sure.
Okay. People are already probably mad. Commenting. Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Comment in the section how much you hate the Browns, and I will find you in the comment section and we'll comment back.
Give us a like just because we contained – I contained Anthony talking about the Browns to like under a minute. So just give us a like just for that reason alone.
Done well. All right. Let's go to running back. So now we're running back. And again, I talked to Sam actually earlier today via text. What did we say last week? We said – give us a few weeks here. It's just like the NBA projections portal, just like the MLB and the golf. A couple weeks into the season, let some more data come in, and it really starts getting refined, right? And it will continue to do so. Like I said, on the far right, Ben, if you can go ahead and scroll your cursor on the far right, you can just see that there's a plethora of columns to study over here, things that are not in any colors. Those are really interesting things to study, really, on your own time. That's why it's the projections portal. The Karma Rank, like I said, is just like an aggregate of all of our stuff. You guys know what floor and ceiling means. If you don't, post a question in the comment section. Ben and I will talk more about floor and ceiling if you have any further questions in the YouTube comments. I promise we will jump in there and answer those for you. Karma value, Ben. Again, I love sticking with this. Interesting to see Chris Carson populate. I'm not surprised, though, right? I mean, Tennessee sucks at the end of the day. That defense is terrible. Chris Carson's only 6,100. I don't think that's a cash play for me. That doesn't mean, you know, just because somebody's truly popping in this projection board, it's just a active ways of discussion. But I will start with somebody else who's popping, Ben. If you want to filter it now, go ahead. Let's filter it. And we have Najee Harris popping, which I knew this guy would pop up top. I think he only had one catch last week. You can correct me if I'm wrong, and that's okay. 6,300 against a team that's traveling from the West Coast, that played on Monday night, short week, that has been historically gashed on the ground the last few years. I know the Steelers' offensive line isn't as great as it used to be. However, it's a home game as well. The price point is unbelievable. I'm just assuming, Ben, that every tout.com website this week will be talking about his snap share. I logged into Twitter and I feel like I saw 9,000 tweets that he had 100% snap share. So that'll be a thing. Ben, again, the projections portal is just lighting up the scoreboard with a 5.24 karma value on Najee Harris. I mean, are you starting your running backs locked and loaded around Najee Harris this week?
Yeah, you nailed it. That'll definitely be like the number one sentence typed in articles this week will be on like Najee Harris played every snap. Like, of course, everyone will want to talk about that. Great spot. Raiders defensive line looked decent that Monday night game, but yeah, at home against the team on the short week traveling, he's going to be on the field. He does have pass catching upside, even though he only caught one pass last week. He is a really good pass catcher. So I think at his price, he's a lock. I also think Christian McCaffrey's a lock. I know New Orleans is a tough defense, but this guy does not miss a beat. He should be over 10K on DraftKings. First game back, for obviously missed a lot of time last season, but 21 carries, 9 targets, caught all 9 of his targets, almost 200 all-purpose yards. Got unlucky, didn't get in the end zone, but I don't see why you wouldn't play him below 10K. So I think both those running backs are like locks in like an optimal lineup for me.
I feel like CMC had 9 catches in like the first 6 minutes of the game. I mean, I know I'm exaggerating, but that's what it felt like. And he like didn't have another one the rest of the game. I mean, that could have been me in traveling. It was a long day coming back from Iowa State. But yeah, I don't know, Ben. Okay, this could be our first small disagreement. And again, it's Tuesday. Things will change, right? Maybe some value opens. Yes, it's if the cursor's on the screen, karma rank, he's number one. I mean, it does the work for you. Karma value, he's popping enough. Of course, we see the projected points extremely high. In fact, it's the highest on the slate. Man, I got to admit, okay, that's $10,000 to me, 9.9. I just don't know if I can do it this week, only because the New Orleans Saints front seven actually is formidable. He will get his 7 to 10 catches, that I do know. But am I paying for a receiver, you know, at 9.9, who probably against that front is probably, if I had to guess, the opening prop line is going to be like, you know, 58 yards, 62 yards. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that rushing prop, but, you know, in DFS world, that's 5.8 points. That's 6.2 points. You add that in. I mean, again, I'm just thinking, like, would I pay for a receiver, you know, this could be the first week that I fade. That's all I'm trying to say. Maybe that's me trying to get cute. Maybe that's just me liking my first build and it didn't have him. And maybe that's me that my first build last week also didn't have CMC. And I ultimately went that route. It wasn't a bad play. It ended up being, quote unquote, the right play, quote unquote, but I actually would have had a better lineup without him. All I'm trying to say is you can still build really good cash game lineups, sometimes fading these best plays of the slate, simply because your lineup's a little bit different. That's really all I'm trying to say. Enough about him. Ben, I need to know about Zeke. Is he going to be utter chalk? I think he's going to be highly owned. I like Zeke. The only reason why is 6,200. Like, what the hell's going on here? Like, I don't even care the matchup. I don't care what he did last week. You and I have played DFS a long time. When you see a guy like his caliber, just, I mean, he's 6,200, Ben. Like, do we need to talk about this? No, he's a lock, right? Or what am I missing here? You're playing him in cash games, right?
Yeah, so obviously, really good game, really high over under, super cheap price. I don't know. We'll have to go back and look and see the last time, if ever, he was that cheap. I don't know. I know a couple times he was cheap last season. I don't know if it ever got down that far. But yeah, I mean, if you put Kyler, McCaffrey, Najee, Zeke all in a lineup with, you know, whatever cheap defense and whatever cheap tight end, you still have like 5K left per position. So I think it's easy to fit these guys. But as far as Zeke in particular goes, I mean, he kind of ran bad in that first game. They were down Zach Martin and they're playing like one of the best defensive fronts in football, right? Like really tough, just huge guys on Tampa's line. So what they were doing was they were just using him to block. Like they were barely, you know, and Kellen Moore even said after the game, like, if there's nothing there, I'm not going to just hand him the ball and give it to him. So I don't necessarily know if that, like, I don't know if Zach Martin's going to be back. I'm assuming he will be back. They are down Collins now, who got suspended. So that sucks. But yeah, 6,200 does seem really cheap for him. I would consider him a cash play at that price for sure.
You definitely better consider him. I know you're going to end up playing him, Ben. Come on now. I'm already talking you into him.
It's tough not to, yeah, definitely.
Let me give you one more guy. Oh, real quick, another thing. Ben and I are going to spice up our life, your life, DFS life a little bit more this year with, you know, FanDuel. We got some people in the comments section asking a couple things for FanDuel. Ben and I, and this is not a homer play, you play Nick Chubb on FanDuel this week. Just play him and don't even think about it. The Browns, again, I'm looking on betkarma.com, the live odds. They are 13-point favorites at home right now. This is a Nick Chubb game. Just play him on FanDuel. I got one guy, though, Ben, before we go to wide receiver. Now, this is a guy I already know you, and you will not agree with me on him, and that's okay. But I want to bring him up because, again, this is going to be the first week that maybe, you know, I go my quote-unquote hybrid route. Anybody that tails me in my core plays, I don't always play a true cash game play. I like Chase Edmonds a lot this week for a multiple of reasons. Number one is his price point. If you can see in the projections portal, he's up there in Karma value, 2.21. He's right there in between CMC and Joe Mixon. So you can see our projections portal is saying, hey, he's a value. If you really like your lineup, pay him. I totally get it. It's not, you know, an Alvin Kamara. It's not a CMC. I get, we can't always make plays like that, in my opinion. Like, I'd love to, but I'm highly considering playing the Chase Edmonds because I want a really good wide receiver trio this week. I kind of want a little mini game stack potentially on both sides of the ball. And I think Chase Edmonds unlocks some salary this week. I'll just say that. So how much do you hate that, Ben?
I don't hate it. I won't play him because I'm going to have Kyler, so I'm just not going to play him and Edmonds in the same lineup. But yeah, I mean, he's cheap.
Where I'm going with it, though, right?
Yeah, especially if you're not playing Kyler. I definitely think it's fine. Yeah. You also have Ronald Jones down there. I know he like is terrible, and I don't like Ronald Jones. I never have. I've never been a Ronald Jones guy. But I feel like people will talk about him, so it's just worth mentioning. Like,
what's his price?
He's 4,800. Bruce Arians said today, like, he's going to start and he's ready to roll. You know, they have huge team total. You know, I'm not going to play him. I'm just saying, like, people are going to mention him. And then your boy, James White, 4,600.
Seven targets. He's back.
Damian Williams had that fumble later in that game. So, yeah, I do think he's back. But, yeah, it's for me, I'm spending up at running back per usual in cash, definitely.
Damn. We might have a different lineup this week. All right, let's go to wide receiver. I'll let you start.
I mean, I do think we normally have different lineups, though. Like, that wasn't an anomaly.
Yeah, no, we do. We really do. I mean, in week one, it was crazy that we ended up on the same exact lineup.
Yeah. All right, wide receivers starting out, obviously, Hopkins is so good. You have Stephon Diggs. And then both of the Seahawks guys, I think that we might get back to the point. This happened a couple times last year. Remember that one?
Oh, my God, I know.
You know, it was like, who do you have to play DK or Lockett in cash, and it's like trying to decide which one, and if you pick the wrong one, you lose.
I chose wrong every time.
I think we might get back to that, especially this week. They're right around the same price. I don't remember that random week the game got flexed to Sunday night, and they kept it on the main slate, and Lockett had like 700 yards and 4 touchdowns. Yeah, that was a bad week. But so Bunch of gets spent up there. Keenan Allen as well in that game, 7K, especially if you're using Herbert. I mean, 13 targets again, and watching that game, it's just, he just looks for him every play, man. It's crazy. I like CeeDee more than Amari for a little bit cheaper at 6,400. But yeah, to your point of saying you want a good wide receiver lineup this week, there's a ton of good plays at the top here already.
Music to my ears. I'm sitting there smirking and smiling as I always do, because you already named two guys I'm playing in my core. And as of right now, I'm playing Keenan Allen and CeeDee Lamb. I am all over that game. I mean, like I said, I'm looking at this more of a true game stack type of play this week, just the way that, you know, again, when you use the tools at betkarma.com and DFS Karma, like I promise you guys, it'll help your DFS play as well. I mean, that's just, that game alone sticks out. I mean, so did, to your point, Ben, so does Tennessee and Seattle. Like, it really is just a method of choosing the route you want to go with your main lineup. But I really like that game. I know the Chargers defense, shout out to Frosty and Joey. They're both, I got to admit, like the Chargers, it's not that I didn't see it. I didn't realize how good they were. In fact, I feel like the Chargers can almost win that division. I mean, like I could easily see that. Like I feel like it's like similar to the Browns. Like they're almost like the better team than the Chiefs. The Chiefs just obviously freaking Mahomes, dude. Like it's just unbelievable. But I love CD this week. I'm not worried about Derwin James and blah, blah, blah. You'll read it in content, which is true though. Like, I mean, weeks like this, I feel like there's just the pace of play in that game. There's going to be so many plays that it's going to null out some of the tougher matchups. I will say Stephon Diggs, I don't know if you were mentioning him for cash. He does have a tough matchup this week. Not that that matters, but the Seattle guys, you got to kind of pick one. I really am super high on both Dylan and frickin' Jefferson. And it seems like there's so many options this week, Ben, that I don't know, but there's going to be a war of attrition just on projected ownership. I mean, Ben, if you could scroll your cursor on the ownership percentage, you guys can see right now it's at 0-0. Duh. It's early in the week. I promise you this updates throughout the week. That's why it's a premium product. It's going to be probably very important for you to check in on this column alone that Ben's rolling his cursor over later in the week, because there will be some guys that come in lower owned just because people can't hashtag play everybody, right? So, Ben, now that we just named like 6, 7, 8 really good options, dude, is like Antonio Brown and Chris Godwin going overlooked and Mike Evans? I mean, those guys are – they have unbelievable matchups as well. I mean, this week is kind of wild.
Yeah, Antonio Brown, I was all over him for season-long. Played him at captain in showdown for that Thursday night game. 6K is definitely too cheap. The problem is, like, they all three of those guys see similar usage. I know Brown is more of, like, the bigger, like, the faster guy, you know? Evans can see deep balls as well. But it's tough when they have such a huge team total. It's like you're guessing which one is going to have the big game. So I think it's more tournaments, that whole team for me, rather than cash. There's some cheaper guys, man. Some good plays as well. You have Cortland Sutton didn't do much in that first game, but Judy is now out. And Judy was just crushing before he got hurt. But, you know, they play Jacksonville, who looked so bad.
Do you see who's popped? Ben, sort the karma value. I don't even want to tell the people if they're listening on iTunes. By the way, shout out to the iTunes family. Give us a comment. Write a review. Do you see who's populating number one at freaking wide receiver? This is had a feeling that this would happen. I mean, I had a feeling Marquez Callaway right now is projected as the number one value in the slate. And I'll tell you what, Sam and his projections are generally accurate regardless of what happens. So it's something to think about. You know, this is a classic DFS setup. Everybody's butthurt. Nobody's going to play. I can already tell you he's going to be low owned. Trust me, he's going to be low owned. Marquez Callaway's probably going to score 2 touchdowns this week. Like, put it in the bank, right?
Oh, so you might want to have him. Such a good tournament stack, Jameis and Marquez Callaway. Definitely like that in tournaments. Yeah. But Yeah, you don't need him in cash. Sutton with Judy out, I think is interesting at 52 against Jacksonville. Jamar Chase, why is Jamar Chase 5K? Can you tell me? I wish I had the answer.
Saw that.
Yeah, that's terrible.
I will say though, surprisingly, like, why is that game? Why are the Bengals implied for such a low total? I know that doesn't mean everything, but Ben and I are. It's
just
part of our process.
It's just offensive line, defensive line mismatch.
Yeah,
but. The fact is, Joe Burrow, before he got hurt last season, was top two or three in pass attempts. You know, they're just going to air the ball out. They're going to have to. And if they get down, that's what they're going to have to do. And I understand the whole, like, mismatch on the line thing, but we know who Jamar Chase is, and he came out and showed it in that first game. And I don't care about the matchup. 5K, too cheap for him, so you could throw him in there. Rondell Moore is still cheap. Like, I'm still fine playing Rondell Moore at 4K. No issues with that, especially if you're playing Kyler.
I like that call.
Yeah, he saw five targets. You know, he was involved. He got an end zone target, but he kind of got held. They didn't call holding, but he did get an end zone target. He saw five targets, so he's only 4K. I still like Rondell Moore as well this week, definitely.
All right, let's go to tight end. Sam might have to get fired because I see Darren Waller's projected at negative 4.5 value. But I will say in his defense, again, the math does the work. It's honestly, it's probably right. I mean, let's be real, Ben. You and I both are not playing Darren Waller, even though we saw Monday night. We both love him. I mean, he's a god, blah, blah, blah. You're not playing Darren Waller this week in cash, right? Because you have a salary and you can only do so much unless you tell me otherwise, right? Tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah, no. Won't be able to afford $7,600 tight end in cash games. But he's a good tournament play, man. I mean, especially, you know, if you're going to use Najee in a tournament lineup, get a little Raiders exposure on the other side. 19 targets, man. Like, they just threw to him every play. It was insane.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so we'll be saving. Noah Fant, 4,200, sticks out. Eight targets last week in that first game. And like I mentioned with Cortland Sutton at wide receiver, Judy being out does affect the target share here. And definitely a bump up in that really good matchup. I'm assuming Fant is going to be pretty chalky at that price tag. And then you have Higbee as well, who's popping in the projections. I prefer Fant if you're going to pick one of them. But they're... You know, they're both fine at those price tags. You can scroll down for like a cheaper guy as well. I know you're probably going to mention Hooper, but.
No, I'm done with that.
Okay,
I was
shocked.
Last week?
I was shocked. Well, dude, the Browns played a ton of three tight end. I don't know if you noticed it because you weren't really watching, but they played a ton of three tight ends with one receiver formation, which I thought was interesting. But it worked out.
We said this last week. It's a DFS problem. It's not a real world problem. The Browns just spread everything out too much. Like they're like they're just a good real life team. DFS wise, things are not concentrated. It's not like, which I love. I don't want just Josh Gordon and we suck and we throw him the ball every play. Like we're past those days, right? So the Browns just have too many options. I feel like, I mean, and that's what makes them tough in DFS, especially because they're run heavy. But enough about the Browns. I will say, Ben, a couple points. Man, what am I doing wrong? I mean, you didn't even mention him, but like, I'm kind of like all over Kyle Pitts again here. I mean, maybe it's me and the game theory thinking people are a little bit hurt. His price increased. 5,200 still seems pretty cheap for me. I really want to play Kyle Pitts. Tell me I'm wrong with that because he's still got the targets, dude. And you know, people in DFS, it's only been 1 week. Half the people will run away scared. This is the time to buy, especially with the price going up. They're going to be playing against Tampa Bay. They're going to have to throw the whole freaking game. I mean, he could see 12 to 14 targets this week if things shake his way. And technically, Tampa Bay, like historically, the middle of the field for them the last few years is the only way to attack them.
Yeah, it's a good tournament play. He'll be low-owned as well. I have no problems with that whatsoever. I actually think it's a pretty good call. I was just looking. It's just, I don't know. I like to save at tight end. I was trying to look for, like,
I know,
cheaper guys.
How about your boy Conklin, Tyler Conklin? He kind of stuck out to me because I'm thinking about that whole game, dude. 3,200.
Yeah, he still had four targets. He was involved. Yeah. Yeah, he's involved. I think that's a good call. There's another one. They bumped his price up, man. But Juwan Johnson from the Saints, this guy played really well in.
He's a wide receiver, though, technically, in DraftKings.
Oh, they actually put him at wideout? That's so stupid.
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
I know. It's so dumb. Yeah, what about the Dallas tight end? I mean, what's his name played pretty well last week? He was, I think he's 3,400. I can't even freaking find him on here. He must not be projecting well. I had him in a dummy lineup, but I don't think I'll end up staying with him. I'm just so all in on that game. But so Noah Fant, huh? You think he sees enough targets and, you know.
Yeah, no, I think.
In that game? I mean, that's Tuesday, what I worry about.
Tuesday prediction is Noah Fant will be the chalk tight end on DraftKings, definitely.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. All right, let's finish up with defense. Who are you looking at?
Yeah, definitely going to be saving. I don't know. Last week, it was like pretty clear that people were going to play Bills, or as the week went on, everyone was playing Falcons because they were just 2K.
I can't believe it.
So, yeah, I don't think you really have to do that.
I think the Jets are going to be the popular team.
Yeah, I was going to say Jets at home against the rookie.
But there's other teams you can play there. I mean, there really is. Eagles at 2,400 are very interesting, I think. Garoppolo does like to get sacked and throw picks. And that Eagles team might be better than we think, honestly. Like they're.
I hope they are, man. I'm a big Jalen Hurts fan, like just real life. I just think he's such a good guy and good leader. So I want him to be good. So I hope they are good, even though I don't like Philly whatsoever. It's like a sports town, but I like Jalen Hurts. Bears definitely stick out. 2,800. I just noted that huge mismatch they're going to have, defensive line versus offensive line. We know Burrow's going to drop back, so opportunity for sacks. So 2,800 Bears, I think, might be my favorite, to be honest with you.
I'll probably stick with the Jets. Like I said, I'll take a look at the Eagles and a couple others. Anything else, Ben? We did our usual kind of 30-minute podcast. Seriously, thank you guys all. We have so many premium products at both dfskarma.com and betkarma.com. Join our team, our community. Come into Discord, especially later in the week. Everybody's chatting, especially show. Ben, by the way, I'm Showdown King. Do you know that? Did you know that?
Showdown's fun, man. Showdown. We have core plays. Bales and I have core plays for Showdown Slates, dfskarma.com. If you get a package, like normal, you get the main slate course, but we've been doing Showdown cores. We've also been doing a Showdown article that you can read for free on the website. I'm excited. I like Showdown a lot. I'm excited to play it this season.
So fun. I personally run the Optimizer. If you guys aren't familiar, it's another product we offer on the site. We're happy to teach you guys in Discord if you have any questions on that. But that's what I like to do on Showdowns. Until next week, good luck. Hopefully we get off to a 2-0 start, Ben, and we'll be loaded and ready to go for week 3 next week. See you guys. Good luck.